This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. How about this? Nearly half of the accounts tweeting about the coronavirus pandemic are likely bots, Carnegie Mellon researchers say, adding that the tweets appeared aimed at sowing divisions in America.
Shocking.
That's not shocking.
Shocking. The Russians and Chinese and the troll farms are out there tricking simpletons again. How shocking.
Yeah, I mean,
I've gotten where I can figure out bots, by the way. I've looked at some of those. Whenever I see something that feels very divisive, I'll go look through their timeline. You can kind of find them if you're observant. When you start looking at a lot of retweets and some of the retweets, you start realizing this isn't even real. This is one of those troll farm bots.
You know, it's funny. Homeland, I'm telling you, Homeland got really good, dude. And Homeland dealt with this, like how Russia is, they have full forces just trying to mess with us and do all kinds of things that just make our lives, you know, a little bit divisive every day.
When you don't talk to real people, when you spend all your time online and you let that shape and craft your narrative of everybody of a certain race, a certain identity, a certain age, a certain whatever, then you're going to be easily, you know, you're going to be easily fooled because you're in your bubble. And then when you go out and like talk to people, you realize, oh, wait, it's not that. This isn't like it was online. This is kind of a normal person. But, you know, we're doing less and less of that.
I've been able to tell, too, because you could just tell that a person did not tweet that, you know, like they're always retweeting everything. They're not really tweeting anything original.
Mm-hmm.
They've got, you know, they've had their account open since, you know, May of 2020. You know what I mean? So it's like their account's 3 weeks old or something like that. So that's how you can kind of tell. But I don't think Twitter can even stop it, you know, because you just, it's all like, I guess, algorithms or, you know, these IT guys, are just, they can automate.
Create them.
Yeah.
I wonder what would happen if we wiped out social media for a year. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I wonder what would happen.
You lose a lot of people would lose jobs because they're solely dependent on digital revenue.
Well, tell me, what do you mean? Tell me about that.
Like, I mean, there's a lot of people that literally just make money off their YouTube channel or their Instagram account, or and they really don't have any other source of income outside of what they
make. I got to tell you, if mankind took a step in the right direction, I'd be willing to sacrifice some Instagram influencers.
Yeah.
I know they're better than us as people, and they're very virtuous people, and they're when they vacation for free in different hotels and stuff like that, and they do quote-unquote, Ryan LaShane told me, he goes, you want to know a surefire way that you got one of these a-holes? They hit you up in social media, and they say, hey, we want to do a collaboration with you. Collaboration is code for I want some free stuff from you, but I'll put you on my Instagram feed. So if some of those people have to get work somewhere else.
You're okay with that?
Yeah. If mankind could take a step in the right direction. We just know there's so much money to be made, some other social media platform would pop up. Like somebody else would invent another one and try to hog all that up.
Yeah. But I mean, I guess, you know, you have to be creative to be a good Instagram influencer.
How would you guys do with no... John, you'd do fine with no social media.
I'd be fine, too.
I literally, when the show's over, I there's sometimes I'll check it at night. And then sometimes I won't. Otherwise, I get right back to it for this 4 hours during the show. But if there was no social media, I would be just fine with the world.
Your Instagram account is a good account, though. I like your Instagram account.
I do have an Instagram account.
You do?
I have never posted on it.
Oh, that's why I was saying. I didn't think you did.
No, I have one. I like some stuff. I follow Frankie and some of my friends and... You know, and it's interesting.
Do you lurk?
I do not lurk. I honestly, if I check my Instagram account once every 2 weeks or so, It's a lot.
It causes stress. Social media accounts cause stress, I think. Whether you see things that make you, that upset you, or you see the way certain people will act on social media or whatever the case may be. I find that to be the case. Do you, Nick? I can't trust John because he doesn't have a Facebook account or Instagram that he posts on. He doesn't post picture of food, so I can't trust him.
So trust what exactly?
Well, no. Does it make you more stressed? Like, do you think your stress level in general would be lower if you didn't have social media? Like you lived your life at one point?
Yeah, probably. Because I've
100%.
Because at the very minimum, you have to kind of train yourself on how to filter out all the bad stuff. I mean, I think everybody's had that moment where it's like, God.
I know people whose lives would end if they didn't have social media validating their existence. Because it's everything is with likes and retweets. Just like, God, gotta see if this will get me the likes.
I mean,
yeah. See, I've always thought that's why I've never been on Facebook is because I would rather just live my life. I like to go to dinners. I like to go to games. I like to do stuff. I don't want to sit in front of a computer and just talk to people. No, I'd rather see people, have drinks with people, do stuff, as opposed to just sitting there. So, yeah.
I feel like I understand it more on Twitter. It's more informational. So if you're that person that tweets, 37 times a day, I get it, I just don't get on Instagram or Facebook where you're just posting several times a day, I try to do my research. I feel like there's certain windows of opportunity where you can get the most traction from like a social media post, depending on the platform. But that's about it. I'm not posting 37 times a day. I can't do that.
Man, McCool is listening from Belize, and he's like, he's so blessed. He had this guy named Marcus Wissing reached out and offered. He offered to go to Belize and stay at his place for free. And he said, look, I have 100,000 followers on Instagram and 1 million on TikTok. So, if you want me to pump you up, I would love to do a collaborate. He even used the word collaborate. I'd love to collaborate with you guys, meaning I want free vacations. And in exchange, I will do. Now, I'm not saying it's not a good idea for, certain followings. Obviously, if you're a big celebrity, it is what it is. Certain celebrities can push things in a direction. That's true. But these losers whose entire life revolves around, I want to become an influencer. This is what I'm shooting for, is influencer. The YouTube thing is real. I can't even. That's just a real thing.
It really is.
There are people making so much money off of YouTube accounts now, and they do. And some of them are creative, and some of them aren't that creative. That's a real thing. But the people looking to collaborate all the time, those social media influencers who I saw an article about. One, this girl wrote an article like, you don't understand. This is our industry. We're not going to be able to travel. We're not going to be able to stay in hotels. We're not going to be able to go to restaurants. This is our industry, okay? And I just thought, this is at the beginning of the pandemic, and I just thought, I didn't think you're going to be low on the priority scale. Like, all right, first responders, nurses, doctors, influencers, they're all right there, equal importance.
Trey says, if Facebook disappeared, that would be fine, but not Twitter. What is the one social media that you'd have to have that you would pick first?
Twitter for me.
Twitter makes the most sense, but I think it also does the most damage because it can be corrupted, just in the way that you talked about, Nick. Yeah. Instagram, not really. Instagram, you can still see things. You can still, there's videos. You can't really corrupt Instagram the same way. Eric Layden got completely off of Twitter because he said, I just couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't see. It makes you feel crazy. If you're an actor in Hollywood and you're seeing all these people live this glamorous life and you're sitting there thinking, man, I'm just sitting here trying to hustle and make ends meet. And Eric works a lot. Eric does a lot of work. And he just said, it's like a keeping up with the Joneses out in I think that's for a lot of people, though. You see people living their best lives, which is really, fake most of the time, on social media. And it just starts to get you down. You start, man, that's not like John. You wouldn't know because you don't keep track of all that. You don't look for all that stuff.
No, I just look for news. I find news in Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Granado's got a TikTok though. You got a TikTok, right?
You got a TikTok?
Me?
Yeah.
No.
I think Granado should get on TikTok.
I'm shocked that Frankie hasn't made you do a TikTok.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense to me.
No, Frankie. I don't.
Get like a Coors Light themed TikTok video going.
What?
Now, there's something that we can get into. That's something we can seek our teeth into. It's 915 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. Come hang with us.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Did you see Joe Rogan's $100 million deal with Spotify?
What?
Joe Rogan, exclusive. His content's going to be distributed on Spotify, which is free for everybody. Is a $100 million deal.
Mm.
Well, you're talking about YouTube, Lance, and we were talking about this on The Suspects one time. I think he was making something like $20 million a year just off his YouTube, and I didn't believe the number.
It's true.
And then we had to Google it, and it turns out that he was making that type of number just off his YouTube channel.
So I dug in with one of the guys who, you know him, John, Marshall Williams. It's an ad agency here in Houston, and they have been big players in radio, and then they switched to podcast. And from an advertising standpoint, they place ads and all that stuff. And I talked to him a couple of years ago about, maybe it's 3 years ago, about what it looked like, the space, and how people get paid. And those guys get paid based on, I want to say it's per 1,000 download or per 10,000 download. There's a number, and it keeps going. Well, a guy like Joe Rogan has so many. And then he posts his video on YouTube. He gets paid for the amount of clicks on YouTube. He gets paid based on the amount of downloads because he does live endorsements and stuff like that. And so, yeah, podcasts are either not lucrative at all, not financially viable at all for most cases, or they can be very, very. There are guys who have figured out how to monetize. The YouTube stuff has become monetizable, and as with everything, the people who drive it are young people. That's where the money's being made. That just like all the Pixar movies, and everyone figured out in the 90s, holy crap, the money to be made is with kids. That's where the money's to be made. They're the ones, and I'm talking about like 12-year-olds and 15-year-olds. They're huge. They push, and that's where a bunch of money is to be made. And so YouTubers playing video games, man, they're some of the biggest money makers out there.
Yep.
Let a 56-year-old woman named Carol, who shows you how to make pies, let her try to open up a YouTube video. $0. Like, man, she's just unbelievable. She's baking her own cinnamon rolls. This is great. How many hits does she have? Oh, like 650. Oh, does that make any money? No. What about that guy? What about PewDiePie? Oh, he's making like, what about Ninja, the video game guy? Oh, yeah, he makes like $37 million a year, and he's got sponsorship deals from Adidas. What does he do? Just plays video games.
What about guy that opens boxes?
Oh, box opening guy? He gets free. First of all, the first part of that racket, I want to be this guy when I grow up. I'm not lying. You get a free television, for example. Ooh, I'm going to do unboxing of this television. Well, somebody's going to send it to you for you to unbox. It's free advertising for them, and you keep the TV.
I never understood the unboxing ones. That
still don't.
That's crazy to me. So they sit there, and honestly, I've watched them, and I'm literally losing my patience. Even if it's a product that I'm interested in, it's like, dude, open the box and tell me what it looks like. Just get to it. I don't understand why people love unboxing so much. I get the kids ones, you know, like where parents are doing YouTube videos with their kids. Because then other kids can watch and they relate. But I don't get the unboxing or watching other video gamers play.
I don't get it either. The watching video game stuff I've heard is, oh, well, they're the best at it. But a lot of times it's just these kids, because I've got kids who watch that crap, they just think they're funny. They just think the guys who are talking are funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And don't they get tips from them too on how some, to beat the...
Yeah, sometimes that can be some of it. That can be some of it. But those guys playing Minecraft and Roblox and whatever. What was the big one that forever was Minecraft? No.
StarCraft?
No, but what was the one that was addicting everybody? All the kids are getting addicted
Fortnite?
To it. Fortnite.
Fortnite, yeah.
Is that not
was
big
huge.
Anymore?
It still is. It's probably one of the biggest, if not the biggest. I'm sure it's taken a bit of a hit because new games have come out, but because it's a free game, you know, just download that game and so many kids can play it. So, yeah, it's still a big game. I don't play it, but yeah, it's still a massive game. You can always tell how big a game is by how many people are playing online. If they're still playing that game online, you can kind of tell that game is still hot. So,
let's talk about it. What's up,
Tanner? You're on the bench. What's up, man?
Tanner, you're up.
Hey, I just want to hit on the topic about you got TikTok stars and all these little kids and all the revenue made through these social media outlets. You know, you got TikTok, just like y'all were saying earlier. You got little kids watching TikTok. Speaking of kids, you got 15-year-olds, like, I think it was like Charli D'Amelio or something like that, she has like 33 million followers, and she's only like 16 years old, the whole family's all making money off of just social media. You know what I mean? You got just like the Joe Rogan thing, you got people making millions of dollars off of that. I mean, but you got podcasts that are very influential. You got them that actually teach you a little bit about some things, like Joe Rogan actually brings on some very educated people. But you got other podcasts like Logan Paul, like his podcast called Impulsive, just bring on porn stars. You just talk about nasty stuff. It's definitely a different day and age. I'm only 20 years old, so I know everything that y'all are talking about that y'all probably don't know much about.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know a lot about the podcast stuff, unboxing and did you sit and watch people play Minecraft for hours, and did you watch unboxing videos? I know that's younger kids typically like it more, but
yeah, and honestly, I'll be honest with you, I used to love watching YouTube videos on gaming and stuff. I mean, I used to be a big gamer back when I was in high school. But, I mean, nowadays, speaking of little kids watching unboxing videos, my little sister has her iPad, which she's only like 6 years old. She's had it forever. Whenever she was like 4 or 5 years old, she was able to get on YouTube and click on the most colorful video out there, because that's what they do, is they put the thumbnails as something for kids to click on. My little sister has my YouTube linked to her iPad, and my suggestion list is all nothing but little kids unboxing toys.
It's the worst.
it's crazy. It really is. Because I have to filter through all of her stuff to get to my, videos, which, I mean, it kind of varies. I ain't going to lie. I do watch some vlogs here and there. But, I mean, I really kind of here lately have kind of went on the podcast and kind of enjoyed that at work. So.
Yeah, I'm looking at
definitely a different day and age.
You can tell that my stuff and my kids' stuff are interspersed and intermingled in YouTube because of what my recommendations are. Like, here's my recommendations. One of them is Impossible 3-Point Scoring Challenge with a guy named Troyden on NBA 2K20. It's not mine. This must be Mahdi's. What will heaven be like according to the Bible? That must be Mahdi's.
That's got to be Mahdi.
Rogue Mortis, Crazy Showdown and Win Streak from Chief Pat, a gamer. That's not mine. Succession Composer Breaks Down the Theme Song. That would be mine.
That was yours.
Interview with Vanity 6 from 1986. That would be mine. I had a thing for Vanity. Yep. This is why you should never insult Michael Jordan. This would be me.
Wait a minute. How could you like Vanity over Apollonia?
Well, Apollonia played the part of Vanity. That part in Purple Rain, she was playing Vanity in the movie. That was an actual Vanity. Because Vanity was fine. That's how come. And I liked Apollonia too. Why do I have to choose both?
Because you're either Apollonia or you're Vanity guy.
Nah, D, all of the above.
No, that's illegal. That's like saying, I'm a Cowboy and a Texan fan.
Well, nope. So Vanity has become Stephanie, is it Edward? Stephanie something. She became super born again, and she actually preaches at a church. You can find her right now. not going to be as much fun now. I will warn you.
Yeah. Oh, well, says you. God is fun. Okay. All right. Maybe not to you.
Ooh, I'm looking at...
JT likes this Apollonia better.
I'm looking at Apollonia right now. And she's still around, I guess, right? She's not. She hasn't died. Yeah, she's still around. Yeah. Okay. Now I'm going to have to look at something during the break. Now I'm going to have to get in a little Apollonia Cotero rabbit hole.
Okay. That rabbit, that's not a bad... Okay. Not going to say anything. I'm not going to say anything else about that hole. Let's take a break. 928 ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Yeah, apparently, now we've been counting down. It started on Monday, and the Bill Barnwell broke down from the worst offseason to the best offseason, and the Texans were the worst offseason of anyone ever, period. When you include the worst draft ever, I mean the worst trade ever, and a draft that doesn't have a first rounder and won't have a first or a second next year, and the number of contracts and kind of stupid money that Bill O'Brien gave out, yeah, I think you can just assume. I think before this even came out, that we all knew the worst offseason of any NFL. I mean, this is, it's been a subject, honestly. I watch ESPN every morning while we're doing the show, and I cannot tell you, it's incalculable the number of times that ESPN has talked about how dumb the Texans have been this offseason.
But let's also acknowledge that this is the most bizarre offseason in the history of all of sports. And so the Texans did something that was universally panned. They've actually done two or three things. And so, to be fair, there's not a lot going on to take it away. Like, they are universe. That's just sitting around. That's like particles in the air you can't get rid of. Don't you think it got all the attention it deserved initially, but it continues to get sifted through and wafted through on ESPN, apparently, because they don't have a lot else to talk about. It's an easy it's easy to go back to.
Well, right. But I, quite frankly, there were a lot. Well, the first take is going to break down, ad nauseum anyway, right? Now that they haven't had, other stuff to talk about, they just create stuff to talk about and create scenarios and do all kinds of things. That's what they do. That's just what they do. But that it got as much attention as it did, Lance, it deserved it. It deserved it. And even you look at the number, the total wins for the Texans and the total wins for the Cardinals, one's gone up and one's gone down. Can you guess which one and why? It's because of that trade. No, it was historically, and the article about Bill O'Brien being the worst GM ever is already 3 months into his general managership. He is the worst GM in NFL history.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, no, it's deservedly so.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's a topic all the time because there's not a lot of other topics going on.
Yeah, well, right. I mean,
we've talked about Barnwell's list three times.
Lance, this happened before the pandemic. This was going on where they were.
No, but the trade was during pandemic. The trade for DeAndre Hopkins was. Because it finally gave us something to talk about with sports. Sports had been shut down.
The DeAndre, are you sure?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, it was because he was doing it from his backyard, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
After sports shut down, this was the first thing that we had to talk about.
Texans trade DeAndre. Okay. Well,
Yeah, you see, like all of their moves that they're making, it's going to be in a vacuum that does. There's not a lot of things going on, so it's
March
16th. Right.
Wasn't it the day? Well, maybe it was the day that it did shut down, right?
I think it was after the
day. It was right in that neighborhood.
Because we didn't have anything to talk about.
What was the last day? I think it was the same week.
March 13th. Yep.
Yeah. It was the same week.
Same week, yep.
Yeah.
Well, no, May 7th, basketball stopped in Italy, March, yeah. Yeah,
no, that was
so
right,
it was
right
it was around the same time when sports had stopped. But
yeah.
That was a big deal. When you didn't have sports for a full week, it was like, dude, what the? We don't have any sports to talk about. Bill O'Brien gave everyone something, and it's like, oh, yeah!
Yeah. I remember, though, we were still in studio, and you know, we were still in studio at that time.
That's why
I thought it was before that. But
well,
yeah.
No, the sports have been shut down probably longer than you even realize.
When did the XFL was the XFL?
When was the last game y'all played?
When did Rudy Gobert test positive? What was the date?
I don't know.
Because that was the day sports died.
Well, that sounds ugly.
Right,
March 11th, 2020 is what I see for
March 11th.
ESPN.
That's when sports shut down. Rudy Gobert
officially. Yeah, that was like, all right, that's it. Shut it down.
That's all. March 11th. The XFL followed suit.
We're more than 2 months in.
Right. So, and it was, yeah, and then Bill O'Brien with, I mean, you want to talk about a catastrophic week. So all sports shut down and Bill O'Brien trades DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, it was terrible. It was hitting Houston Texans fans all at once.
Holy crap. But nice job, Bill. But you know what? It actually probably didn't get nearly as much as it would have because we were all so worried about dying and no sports and everything else. Of course, there was less to talk about, so he did catch center. I remember we must have done 3 or 4 shows just about that trade.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, when it's the only topic, especially when you're not used to, you know, it was massive, and it got recycled and recycled, and so I think Bill O'Brien, one of the reasons, you know, in some regard, the pandemic has allowed him to skirt some of the direct questions and all that. But in another way, this is something that lives inside of that vacuum that will always come back up. Like it's going to keep coming back up. And why do you think there's a list? Anytime you see lists, it means that there's not a lot to talk about. So yeah. Bill Barnwell, list of top, you know, Bill Barnwell had written another article about worst moves of the offseason. Bill O'Brien was on there. Now it's the top 32 offseason moves. They're in full list mode, and I don't blame them. There's not a lot to do. And so now it hits us again, and we talk about it again. Bill O'Brien's offseason was awful because he's getting his ass kicked, but they haven't even played games. Like, he may have a chance to say, you suck too. You suck too, mother bleeper. He may get a chance to do that.
But he also never had to stand in front of the media, and answer and sit there and answer questions about this face-to-face. How long did it go before he had to answer? Remember they came out with the Mark Vandermeer and Cal and Bill O'Brien with it was a round table. It wasn't a public thing. What do they call that? Anyway.
What, for the season ticket holders?
Yeah, for the season ticket holders.
How awesome are you going to be this year, Bill? We're going to be real awesome, Mark. Did you get your pizza? Yes, I did. The most delicious pizza I've ever. Rock and roll.
Yeah, no, that's not what it was, but it was close. Although some stuff did come out of it. Some stuff did come out of it that, you know, and I agree with him. We got to wait to see how it all turns out. Although you don't have to wait to see how he got used value-wise. That you don't have to wait to see. But you do have to wait to see if the team is going to be better. You got to wait to see if the offense is going to be better.
Wait to see if
Deshaun can actually spread the ball around instead of one every three completion being the DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, I mean, we've already got our licks in on Bill O'Brien. I really don't have much more to say on that very specifically. Nothing new, certainly, until I see how certain things work out and how certain guys play and things like that. I don't need to see how guys play to know that he gave too much money. To reset the tackle market like that, it has a ripple effect throughout the NFL, and you're doing this in the midst of a pandemic where you are going to have unprecedented losses of revenue. It's just in the neighborhood of dumbest moves of all time in football under the radar. Like, people aren't talking about that, but to reset a market that substantially for a position when you're in the midst of all-time revenue losses that are going to hit your, not only your sector, but people who are people who pay for tickets, people who pay for DirecTV to watch Sunday Ticket and all that stuff. It's mind-blowing that you would just give in like that. It's unbelievable. So I don't need to see how the Texans play. There's nothing Laremy Tunsil can do that doesn't make that move a stupid move. At least how they went about it. I don't have to see anything play out to know that was really handled poorly. But at the same time, I've said that multiple times. So I think what's interesting is Bill O'Brien's reputation hit. You know, however you I don't care how you view the trade of DeAndre Hopkins or this, that, or the other, John. His reputation hit in the offseason is easily puts the Texans at 32. Easily.
Honestly, is there another team? Let's say Bill O'Brien in 7 years finally gets fired by the Texans, which is kind of realistic. 7 or 8, maybe let's say 12 years.
12 years.
Is there another team that would possibly hire Bill O'Brien after the hit that he's taken on his idiotic moves and his power hungry and how he wrestled the general managership away for he rid all of his
enemies
foes.
Yeah, or even people who weren't enemies. I think the way that went down, he'll try to spin it differently, that it was, you know, Brian was, that wasn't me, you know, that was, I didn't say that on Brian Game, but come on. I would have to think that any owner, any GM would be very leery of working with him after all this stuff.
Oh, a GM?
As a head coach. A GM,
that
for
dude,
sure. Yeah.
That dude that will stab you to get that job? Are you kidding me? That
yeah.
dude that can't work with anybody that tells him no? That dude that has to have all of the power? I mean, that dude that will just fly off the handle at a fan like that?
Yeah. Yeah, that's that dude.
That dude. No, I could see this is Bill O'Brien's last stop.
No. Not if he can coach football.
Maybe not as a head coach, but maybe he can be like a quarterback's
really?
Coach.
If you're a head coach, you want the guy who will do anything to cut anybody's
right.
throat to
but
become
here's the thing.
General manager?
Bill O'Brien, that's the thing. That's what scares you. You can hire Bill O'Brien to head coach, but why is he going to be happy with just being a head coach after he's had this taste of blood in his mouth?
No, there's no chance. He won't be. He won't. I honestly could see this his last stop. 944 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. Come on, 713-780-3776. Who's got something? If you want to get in here, you're more than welcome to do that. A couple of things we haven't gotten to yet. Daryl Morey apparently was on Colin Cowherd's show, and he said that the Rockets would have won, Would have beaten the Warriors had Chris Paul's hamstring held up.
Yeah, of course he would. Yeah. Does anyone doubt that?
No. I mean, they were up 3-2. Paul.
He had 2-1.
Yeah, he had 2-1, and Paul goes out. Right.
You wouldn't have had 27 straight missed threes because Chris Paul would have gone to the mid-range game and gotten you some much-needed baskets to stop the momentum flow against you. I really right. firmly do believe that Chris Paul, the Rockets win a championship because they would have beaten that Cleveland team. I think the Rockets win a championship if Chris Paul stayed healthy. It sucks, and it sucks that Chris Paul's not going to be remembered here more fondly just because he only had one good year, then got a bad deal that was already prearranged. $40 million, and then wasn't healthy the next year, and then went out in inglorious fashion at home against a beaten up Warrior team.
Yeah, I remember. He was really good the first year, really good.
Oh,
and yeah,
fantastic.
And they were that was arguably the Rockets' best ever team.
I'll just be honest. I mean, seeing what the Rockets look like then versus the and knowing that James got rid of him and wanted to get rid of him. Look, it was not a good contract. I don't blame the Rockets for getting rid of that contract at all, especially if he wasn't playing well. But knowing that James didn't like his style, his kind of – Chris Paul's an alpha too. Chris Paul has an opinion too. Chris Paul believes there's a certain way to win too, which is fine. But sometimes that's why two alphas have a hard time coexisting. And when one of them, James, has gotten his way for so long, that's just the way it is. Like, if he doesn't like you, got to go. Get him up out of here. And the Rockets say, yes, sir, and get him up out. And that's the way it is. And that kind of bothers me a little bit. I don't really think that's the way. I'm not sure that's the guy I want to give all that Jordan power to.
No, not with what we see. No.
Actually, Jordan didn't even have that kind of power. Actually, he tried, and Krause said, nope.
This is who we're getting. This is who you get. This is your teammate. That's all. That's right. That's what Krause did, and that's why they, they clashed, and they didn't like Krause, and yet Krause was instrumental. Not only instrumental, he was the architect of those championships and does not get the credit he deserves. If anybody came out, if you want to know the last dance, I thought Kraut, while, making fun of him and his height and his dancing and all of that stuff, I feel better about what Jerry Krause did. Well, I feel a lot better than Scottie Pippen. Scottie Pippen was perceived to be a top 50 player, unbelievable. Yeah, he was Robin, but he was still one of the all-time greats in the NBA history. I feel a lot worse about Scottie Pippen after watching that thing than I did before.
So does Pippen.
Yeah.
That's why Pippen's all pissed off. Like,
yeah.
Man, yeah. And do you think this is the thing about Michael Jordan is I truly don't believe he has friends. Not friends that he's played with. I just don't believe he has any. You think Jordan cared about Pippen getting upset about the documentary? No. Okay, so how it made Scottie look. How did it make Scottie look? Michael Jordan gave his opinion on Scottie having this migraine stuff. Now, we can judge. I thought Jordan was a little harsh. If it's a real migraine, it's a real migraine. But the unfortunate thing is we already know that Scottie kind of tricked out when he had a chance to go into the game, and he didn't. And he even admitted, I shouldn't have done that, but I'd do it all over again. Well, Scottie, you said that out loud. You said out loud that you would do it all over again. How was that on Mike?
No, right. Well, that Mike, that it was highlighted, and this was Mike, the Mike show, and it was highlighted. Hey, why are we spending so much time on this thing? Hey, Mike, let's move on. Okay, 1.8, we can get over it. And the migraine thing, Mike kind of rolled his eyes at first, but then he did say, well, if he's got a migraine, he's got a migraine, he can't play. That's all right, He did give him that. But he did kind of roll it. Oh, yeah, the migraine game, right?
Yeah, no. I mean, like Mike does. Mike, Michael's just not the guy to go to for sympathy or comfort. I just don't think Michael Jordan has empathy in him. I just don't. Other than for his dad, that's it. Yeah. And his parents, that's it. I just don't think, hey, Mike, man, did you see it? Man, Will Perdue's having a really hard time. Wow. What is Will Perdue having a hard time with this time? He's just really, he's just mentally down, and I think he's going through depression. Like, I don't have time for depression. We don't have time for any of this stuff. Like, Mike's not the dude. Mike is the example of the poster boy for why athletes for years felt like they couldn't come out and say they had issues battling depression or whatever, because Michael Jordan just can't. I just don't have time for depression. I'm trying to win titles, okay? If you're going to have those problems, take it somewhere else. Get him out of here, Krause. Get him to the Nets. That's how Mike would treat you.
That's true. That is absolutely true. And then Bill O'Brien says Kali Waring is going to make a big contribution this year. What do you think?
Well, Tim Kelly said that.
Tim Kelly said that.
Yes. So Tim Kelly was interviewed yesterday, and he was asked about.
Well, this one said that Bill O'Brien had said that.
Oh, maybe there's two different ones, because he was asked specifically about what are your expectations for Kahale Waring this season, and what's the significance of having your offensive line starters back intact? Starting with Kahale, he's doing a good job, as they all are. Who does that sound like? They're all doing a good job. That entire room with Akins, Jordan Thomas. Okay. Tim Kelly is from the book. This is the playbook of Bill O'Brien. Just you ask about a question, bring up the whole group, don't talk about one individual player, and then start naming names. Okay? Mm-hmm. Starting with Kahale, he's doing a good job, as they all are. The entire room, Akins, Jordan Thomas, Fells, and Kahale. They're doing a great job coming in here and working with Coach Will Loin and making sure that they're on top of it. The expectation for Kahale is for him to be on top of his game mentally when he comes in here. That's going to be a problem. Just like all of them, and be able to compete for a spot once we get on the grass. As far as the offensive line, I believe you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it's the first time that we've had all five starters back since we've been here. That position especially, there's a lot of chemistry that goes into that position and playing next to one another and blah, blah, blah. I think that's one thing you and I do agree on as well, is that this offensive line is actually pretty sneaky, has a chance to be sneaky good. A top 10 offensive line for sure, top third of the league.
I agree. I agree.
I think they will be.
While it was a weakness, like one of their obvious weaknesses and maybe biggest deficiency, it's one of its strengths now. With the quarterback position, if you wanted a group now, if I'm going to take after quarterback, I'm going to take offensive line second, inside linebacker third. As far as team strengths,
where you put wide receiver?
Wide receiver? Well, I think the jury's out. I mean, my problem with the wide receiver is you don't have two. You don't have an X and a Z. You've got a bunch of Ys.
This is my thing.
You've got a bunch of slot guys.
Yeah.
I mean, is Randall Cobb going to – Is Cooks going to be outside? Cooks going to be in the slot?
Well, it's a lot like coronavirus. There's a lot of unknowns that we just don't know about yet. Like, we just don't know how it's going to work, what it's going to look like. The wide receiving core could end up being, you know, one or two. Strongest, or it could end up being six. It depends on health. It depends. Well, it won't be six. There's too much talent there.
Here's the problem with is you can't count on them. So I would, you know what? There's a lot of good players on it, but you just can't count on them. So I'm going to put them after the inside linebackers.
Look what I'm going to do. Since I'm ducking out now, David is on hold. So David, hold through. And I want to see if we can get five people lined up for John Granato as hosts of the next two segments. Unless you have a golf guest coming on next.
I don't know. I had Stacy Lewis, who's a pro golfer. Okay, I don't have a golf guest next.
Well, I mean, for me, that means golf guest. 713-780-3776. Come on in, populate it, and get your women's softball questions up now.
Let's go.